hand and good morning to everyone. It is so good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to see everybody. How's everybody doing? God is good, and we thank him for blessing us to be here this morning to see another beautiful day. We have been embarking upon a lesson series entitled the Disciples Master Training Series. And I hope you've been studying along with us. We've challenged the congregation to study along with us. And have you been reading? If you're visiting with us, you're truly an honored guest. And thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. If you're watching by way of television, please stop. Don't move all those channels. If you stay with us for a few moments, I hope you'd allow God to speak to you this morning through his word. We hope you get your Bibles out. And I'm diving in because I don't have enough time to finish my lesson. And you'll go to sleep if I preach too long. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to begin reading at verse 13. I want to thank Clayton for reading for us this morning. Thank you to his dad for that touching prayer that he prayed this morning. Thank you to Dundee for those songs, uplifting songs, and even that new song that I half knew. But I tried to sing along with you. Thank you, brothers, for serving this morning. Just good to be here. Amen. Yes. Good to be a child of God. Good to be in the family of God. I know you got some issues going on, but you might as well let them go for a few moments. They're not going anywhere. They'll be there when you... Therefore, take up the full armor of God. I'm going to resist reviewing so I can stay to task. I'm going to resist it so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. Notice, see, some days we live in life are tougher than others. Yeah, notice all of this is in this text. We have normal days that things happen and, you know, we go about our routine and sometimes that can lull us to sleep. Sometimes you can think everything is all right. If you're still not, if we're not as Christians, notice this letter is written to Christians. It's written to those who've decided that they want to live a godly life. And God is telling us, after you've been baptized, you got to put on this full armor to stay in this world if you're going to live a godly life. This is for all of us. Because every now and then the evil day comes, a day that's more challenging than other days, a day that the devil tests us head on. And this is what we are preparing. You know how we teach our children? You know, you have them in the house and you teach them their ABCs and how to brush their teeth and how to wash their face. And you go along, things are going along and they're in your house and there's no, all this protection. One day they got to go outside. And that's what all this preparation is about, is to for them to prepare for when they are without you. When they are with other people who don't brush their teeth, who don't eat right, who say anything, and who do anything. Amen. That's what we're preparing them for. And he says, take up the full armor of God. He says, and having done everything to stand firm. And that's why we're challenging the congregation to take all of these pieces. All of these elements are important in our life. You know, if the Lord said to say, I want to bring a Roman soldier in here. If the Lord says the same, the next Sunday is my last lesson on this series. And I want you to see a Roman soldier, so stay tuned. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. That was the first element. I believe it's there for a reason. And then it says, girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Did you not know that? See, you can't have righteousness without truth. Amen. There are a lot of people who are doing what they think is right in their own eyesight, in their own minds. They think they're doing what's right, but if it's not based on truth, it's not right. I can't stop. I got to keep going. And having showed or shoed your feet, put shoes on with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's our message. That's what we take with us everywhere we go. That's the message we deliver. It brings peace to the hearers and peace to our lives, the gospel message. In addition to all of these, take up the shield of faith. We talked about that on last week, with which you shall be able to distinguish all the flame and arrows of the evil one. Don't be naive. Don't be naive. You can't say, well, I'm going to live my life. I'm not going to bother nobody. Somebody going to bother you. You have to be ready. You have to be ready. You know, you can be nice and sweet, but you have to be ready for evil in this world. Oh, have mercy. And then verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. That's what we are today. Lesson today is the helmet of salvation. That helmet you're looking at, that's the Roman. That's actually what I believe is the officer's helmet. There is a soldier's footman helmet, but I believe that's the officer's helmet. But it's a beautiful piece of armor, and it's beautiful. And it had this. Can you imagine thousands and thousands of soldiers out in the battlefield, and they got this red beam on top of their helmet? And the intimidation that it might bring to the enemy, but that helmet was for a reason. Yeah, and so what is meant by the helmet of salvation, Brother Gary, as part of the arm of God? Why is salvation portrayed as a helmet? Well, I'm glad you asked that. The Lansing State Journal ran an article it's been 2009, I believe, and the article was about a 36-year-old involved in a skateboarding accident. I quote, "It was a death that could have been avoided," officials said. Skateboarding. Paul Maxim, who was not wearing a helmet, suffered a skull fracture and other head injuries in an accident on June 18th at a skate park. And officers said a simple helmet would have saved his life. But in contrast, that was an article that appeared in 2008 in one of the on the evening news about a person named Savannah Hayworth. She was 11 years old. She was knocked unconscious after falling. She was on a bicycle falling into the path of a car. And it said that the wheels went over her arm and the top of her helmet, but she escaped with a swollen elbow and bruising to the face. Her parents say they say she would have been killed without the helmet, and now they're urging all cyclists to wear a helmet. Isn't it amazing? The absence or presence of a helmet can make so much of a difference that a skateboarding accident would end in death without one, but an accident that you ran over with a car with a helmet saved a life. Amazing. Well, one of the pieces of our spiritual armor is the helmet of salvation. And I got a question I got to ask. Do we understand what the helmet of salvation means to our spiritual survival? To our spiritual survival. I want to start in the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah, because this is not the first. Paul mentions this helmet of salvation, but it's not the first time that it's mentioned in the Bible. The prophet Isaiah, through the inspiration of God, chapter 59, very familiar passage to many of us. I want to read verse 17. It says this: "He put on righteousness like a breastplate." And this is speaking of God, "and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself with zeal as a mantle. This is the same passage that some of you probably remember in Isaiah 59, that God says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save; his ear is not heavy that it cannot hear; he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from him." And I say that because, see, God puts on righteousness. He puts on salvation. And I don't care if everybody else is wrong. Everybody else is sinning. God is always right. Amen. See, God always has salvation. And then we get to the New Testament. And Paul is writing to saints, those of us that are Christians. And he wants us to take on the nature of God. What are you saying, Brother Gary? God wants us to put on this helmet of salvation to put, see, God's mindset is always that he is saving power. And God wants us to have that on wherever we go. I don't care what other folk are doing, what they are saying, how they are living. You remember that you are a saved child of God. And he wants us to keep that at all times, no matter what else is going on. And so the Roman helmet, it protected the head. That is what it was for, to protect the head from attacks from the enemy. It was its specific purpose. The spiritual helmet for us is the defensive armor that protects and guards the control center, of our existence. The helmet protects and guards our minds, our thoughts. God, it is so important that this control center stays in the right mindset at all times. And God says, you need the helmet of salvation on to help you with that. I know some of you are looking at me strange, but Gary, I'm not understanding it. That's why we're studying it. What does salvation have to do with a helmet, Brother Gary? Let's study it a little bit further. Paul wrote to the Thessalonica church. And that's why we've called this the Master Training Series. You won't get this with superficially looking at a scripture and saying, I think I know what that means. It will not benefit you at all if you don't fully understand what God is trying to say to us. Paul wrote to the Thessalonica church in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8. But since we are of the day, notice again, he says, since we, that's the we. You go back to the first part of the letter, you see he's talking to Christians, he's talking to saints, he's talking to his church, those that have been baptized into Jesus Christ. I know this morning we have somebody that came here who is searching, who is looking for a better way of life. Well, this passage is written to those who've decided that they want that better way of life. But more than that, they have obeyed the gospel. You will have an opportunity to do that at the end of our worship service. He says, but since we are of the day, so if somebody in the world would not understand anything that I'm saying, if they are not willing to accept the word of God, he says, we are of the day. And you know, the darkness and the night is always associated with the devil and his angels. We are of the day. Let us be sober. He says, let us be sober. And we know what sober means, don't we? Don't act like you don't know what it means. The word sober means not intoxicated. It means not under the influence, notice, of anything that would influence the mind. Notice, we have a heart. We have a beating heart. But God, you see, he wants us to be, the word sober means clear thinking. Yes. I haven't you heard it over and over again? Don't let nothing mess with up your mind. Yeah, boy, the mind is a commercial. Come on, the mind is a terrible thing. Change the way, Lord. You know, oh, Lord, our children, our young ones, some of them may understand, but as adults, don't now we understand how important the mind is? Amen. You notice this, and we need to grasp it at an early age. We need to influence strongly this mind before they get to be 18 years old. Oh, have mercy. So many of our young walking out on the street. You see these folks out walking on the street, nowhere to go, nothing to do, and they less than 25 years old. Amen. Already it seems like they lost their minds.
Amen.
And he says to the saints, he says, be clear thinking. And some folks well, drinking not a sin. You don't need nothing messing with your mind. Some of us can't act straight when we're under the influence of anything at all. We don't need nothing warping us to a no degree. Amen, somebody. I know what you're saying. I could stay there. I'm just trying to show you what this helmet, this salvation, what it had to do with the helmet. Having put on the breastplate of faith and love, Paul uses this terminology again. Then he says, I'm in verse 8, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. See, hold it now. Hold it. That's a key right there. The helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath. Now, in just a moment, I want to talk about what salvation really means. See, God wants us to always have in clearly in our minds the hope of salvation. It is a sustaining power that all Christians must have to survive while you are here before you get that salvation.
Well,
and whatever circumstance you're going through, whoever you are around, whatever influence is going on, you need to keep in your mind, we need to keep in our minds who we are and where we are going.
Amen.
At all times. No, it's something that will aid us in making decisions, in choosing partners, choosing what career we're going to have, choosing where we're going to go to church. All of it for the Christian. Amen. Listen to this, he said. Because God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining, notice this, salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake, living, or asleep, dead, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another just as you are doing. Lord, have mercy. Help us, Lord Jesus. See, what does salvation have to do with this helmet? The helmet protects the head. It protects the mind. It is the control center of the mind. When you lose your mind and you lose your thoughts and you lose your way, you've lost your salvation.
Yeah.
And we as Christians, we got to keep this helmet on at all times.
Yeah.
Brother Gary, do you wear it when you're going in a fight? You wear it every day.
Yeah.
Keep it on. As long as your feet are trapped, it reminds me of a young man I read about in the Bible, in the book of Luke, chapter 15. I don't have time to read the whole story, but he lost his way, lost his mind, got mad at his daddy, wanted all of his money, and he got all of his money, and he went out into the world. And he parted and spent it all and lost all his friends and just was in the hog pen.
Yeah.
But listen to the word of God in verse number 17. Listen to verse 17. But when he came to his senses, Lord, when he realized he had it in him. He knew what he had. He knew where he was. And finally, thank the Lord for mercy and grace.
Amen.
And you know what? Sometimes we come to church and, you know, we just look so sweet and so good. But some of us have been through it, haven't we? Some of us, we lost our mind at one time. Some of us, you wouldn't think about looking at us right now. Some of us lost our mind. You know, sometimes you lose your mind for long periods of time.
Amen.
And if that's the case, and Now, thank the Lord, we've come to our senses. We need to be saying praise the Lord.
Amen.
But then sometimes you can lose your mind for just a minute. some of us make mistakes. And we just, we're going along, living the Christian life, doing, and we just one day, I don't know what it was. But we lost it. We didn't have our helmet on. And we forgot this world is not our home, and we just passing through. And we forgot it for a second. And this man, he said, He said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I'm dying here and hungry. I will get up and go to my father and will say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. So he got up. He came to his senses. He got up and he came. Is that somebody here that needs to get up? Lord, that's why I say God is. Isn't God good? Because you know how. See, most of us, we're not. No. Listen, we're not nearly as forgiving as God is. Some people are, well, God, you know, all this bad stuff happening in the world, and if God is God, I don't know. If you're talking, God is good. You see, if you even complaining and whining like that, because, you know, if my child come over, Dad, you supposed to be so good, and you always talking, and you haven't done this, and you haven't done that. If my child would say all that, she wouldn't get all that out of her mouth. I don't know. Well. But some of us get mad, and we say all kinds of things, and we cursing and doing everything else. And some of us doing it while we smoking and drinking and hooking and crooking folks, and had the nerve enough to say God is not good. If God allowed you to say all of that, he is good. Amen, somebody. And so we need to get on our knees and thank the Lord for his goodness and his mercy and come to our senses. Lord, have mercy. Yes. See, we can receive tremendous hope and comfort by focusing on the incredible sacrifice Jesus Christ made to die for our sins. The incredible opportunity that God has given us to be in his family, the kingdom of God, where all of his benefits are. All of our physical families are dysfunctional. If you're looking for the perfect family, Lord have mercy, they're not here. And God has created this spiritual family. Now, listen, the spiritual family, we have sinners in the family, but we save sinners. And we're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so, God, if your physical family is dysfunctional, stop making excuses. Stop wishing for another daddy, another mama. God is your father. And he's made it possible for everybody to be saved. Lord have mercy. Listen to John chapter 17, verse 15. We're trying to develop the mind of Jesus Christ. The mind of Jesus Christ. Notice, Jesus wore his helmet at all times when he was on this earth. And Jesus had to continually remind himself of who he was as he was going through all of his trials. John chapter 17, verse 15, listen to the prayer that Jesus is praying to the Father. And he said, I do not ask you to take them out of the world, speaking of his apostles, but to keep them from the evil one. Then listen to that. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Notice, God wants us to have his mindset. And notice in John 17, 5, now, Father, he's continually praying to the Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Notice it. Jesus is with the Father before he created the world. Jesus is now on earth. He's praying to the Father. Father, please glorify me. I'm tired of being here. And give me the glory I had before the world was. Father, I'm trying to think. I know what I got. I know who you are, but it's hard down here. And I need you, Father, to raise me up. Listen to what else he prays in John 17, verse 24. Father, I desire that they also, your apostles, whom you've given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me, for you love me before the foundation. Jesus is talking to himself. He's talking to the Father. You know how when you're going through some trial, you need to pray to the God, and you need to remind God, I know I'm your child, Lord. I'm going through these trials, but I know I'm going to stay with you, Lord. But I need you to show me something. Give me a sign, Lord. Help me to know that you're there. Just to get you through a situation. You're dealing with somebody that's leaning on you, and you try, Lord, I'm trying to hold on. I'm trying to do right. I don't want to hurt this man. I don't want to do nothing to this woman. I got to remember who I am. I'm yours, but I need you, Lord, right now. That's the helmet of salvation. That's what sustains. That keeps you out of jail. It keeps you out of bad graces. It keeps you in good graces with people and with God. If Jesus had to do that, what you think we have to do at all time? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Peter tells us Christians the same, some of the same things that Paul told him. He said, first of all, be sober. He's talking about the mind again. He's talking about the mind. Stay clear thinking. Don't medicate. Don't medicate yourself, because that medication make you dizzy. And I'm not talking about those that have to take medicine for ailments and things like that, but be careful even when you're taking that, amen, somebody. Yeah, because see, you can't think right, Lord. People take advantage of you. He says, be sober. He says, be vigilant. It's the word that means to be careful, to take careful watch for possible dangers. Difficulties. He said, for the Christians, listen, you're a Christian, you're a saint. You're my child, but you keep your eyes open. Yes. Amen. Don't, when you, sisters, when you meet a man and he's good looking, and even if he come to church, pray to God about him and you watch him. What you mean, watch him? That means take your time. Amen. See, some of it is just being patient. So some of us, they say, well, no, brother, I better get him before anybody else get him. No, sister, if you take all that, you don't need him. Amen. If he wants you, he'll be there. Amen. Brothers, the same go with you. Don't be careful, because she's cute don't mean she might be cute and crazy. I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it. Woo, the truth is just the truth. Lord, have mercy. Help me, Jesus. Notice this. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings and experience that are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. We're not in this by ourselves. No, see, not everybody. See, I can't wear your helmet. Now, see, we all going through trial. When we leave here, when we leave the Lord's house, see, it's good. That's why you don't need to miss worship service. No, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. So you don't need to miss worship service, because, see, this is as good as it's going to get here, right here. Yeah, ain't nobody cursing you. Ain't nobody stealing. Don't nobody steal nothing in here. Yeah, we're singing praises to God. We're going to take a fellowship communion. We eat together. We listen to the God's word. Brothers praying for you. You can come and confess your faults one to another. Be uplifted. This is wonderful. And you don't, and see, look, God knew what he was doing. You don't get this nowhere else if we do it the way God wants us to do it. Yeah, and see, and notice then, but when we leave here, Lord, we go all different places. Different places. You go to your corners, I go to, and you know, some of us, we don't see each other the whole week. And then you're not around nobody. You know, you think, you know, see, the devil say, oh, see, nobody looking now. yeah, you can do, yeah. Nobody not going to say, go ahead on. Oh, you know how the devil works. Lord have mercy. Listen to the word of God. The hope of salvation. The hope of salvation can protect our thoughts from the enemy's attacks. And sometimes the enemy attacks us with worries, temptations to disobey God. Now, notice, listen to the psalmist in Psalms 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? That's David talking. Listen to Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to. And see, real life. Some situations are, everything is not roses. You see, especially when we're going through our show enough, you know, things that we didn't ask for. Some of us are dealing with illnesses. Don't let your illness take your salvation. Don't let your stubborn child remove your helmet. Don't let your weak spouse rob you of the hope of salvation. See that, Lord have mercy. And Paul, when he wrote to the Romans, he says, know this, the suffering, the trials that you're going through right now, when you get your salvation, you won't remember them. When you get your salvation, it will be no compare. It's like when you get our salvation, you say, Lord, that was nothing compared to what you have given me. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Oh, my. Listen. Brother Gary, what is salvation? Now, this gets serious now. This gets serious. I'm trying to stay on time. What is salvation? I need to be a little bit more clear about that. See, salvation basically means to be saved or delivered from something. Amen. See, this is where you got to be. You got to have the truth, and not underestimate. See, let me give you one example in the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. Exodus 14, 13. But Moses said to the people, "Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you this day." Some of you know the Old Testament. The children of Israel were escaping Egyptian bondage, and God was rescuing them through the hand of Moses. And they came to the point where it's time to go. The Egyptians were chasing after the Israelites. They get to the Red Sea, and Moses says, tell the people to be still. Notice this. They are going to see the salvation of the Lord. Then he goes on to say, for the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. That's what the Bible. What is salvation? Salvation is deliverance. No, God's salvation is no plaything. God says, I'm going to get rid of all of them, and you will see it. No, the salvation is tangible. It is real. It is something that God is going to deliver his people from. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached the first gospel sermon, he said, save yourselves from this untoward or this crooked generation. He preached the gospel to them. He knew what he said. Listen, he preached the gospel to them. And he said, listen, you better listen to this message. Because God is going to make everything right one day. And he's going to correct all the wrongs. And he says, you better save. And this is when you need to be selfish. If nobody else wants to be saved, I love my wife with all of my heart. I love Sister KB. But if Sister KB don't want to be saved, I'm going to cry for my baby. Woo, baby. I want you to be saved, Sister KB. I don't want that church stuff. I'm tired of you preaching. I'm tired of all them people, and I'm tired of trying to do right. I'm tired of people just crazy. I'm tired of them. Say, baby, what's wrong with you? I'm going to take her to the hospital. I'm going to take her to get some help. Baby, you got to get right, bro. I'm not going back. I'm sick of them. I don't want it no more, baby. I'm taking you to the home. No. But if nobody else wants to be saved, I got a question for you. Do you want to be saved?
Yes.
Let me nail this down. I got 5 minutes, 4 minutes. Saved from what, Brother Gary? Romans 6:23, for the wages, the paycheck for sin is death. That's see, people are going to get paid for sin. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Saved from what, Brother Gary? God's wrath. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his love, his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having been now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved, notice this, from the wrath of God through him. Notice. And I know we don't like to hear passages like this, but God is long-suffering. He's loving. He's kind. But notice, God has already sent his only begotten son. And when Jesus was dying on the cross, God stood still and he let him die. You remember the passage in the Bible when Jesus was on the cross and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He said that on the cross. And God did nothing. He let him die. And I've told you before, if I was God that day, we wouldn't have made it. I think I'm that weak. If my child, if my daughters, any one of them would be screaming, Daddy, Daddy, do something. And I had the power. So God, you know, they were gambling when Jesus was on the cross. And God did nothing. Why? Because the Bible said, for God so loved the world. Notice that he gave his only begotten son. I got some more notes, but I got to stop. He gave his only begotten son. And see, God sent his son as the plan to save the world. Notice, there's only one plan. That's why God shares, there is no other name, the Bible says, given among men whereby we must be saved. It's Jesus and it, Mohammed, no. Buddha, no. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. Amen. God shared, that glory won't be shared with anybody. And the Bible says when Peter preached that first sermon of scripture, say, when they heard this, what did they hear? The gospel, the good news that Jesus came, he lived, he died for everybody's sin. And God's plan is so simple for salvation. And that is what he wants us to wear all times. The helmet of salvation, knowing that we have acknowledged that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. It is by faith we believe that with all of our hearts, and we keep that with us, knowing that that is our way to heaven. And Peter told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you. This is how you get your salvation. He says, repent, change your mind about sin. Now, that don't mean that you won't necessarily sin again. Now, we don't try to sin. Lord mercy, we don't want to. We trying our best to live godly lives. But thank God that the blood of Jesus Christ keeps cleansing us from our sins. Yes. See, if we humble ourselves before God, yes, This is why you need to be in Christ, because that's your only chance. You can't save yourself. God is going to do his business. He says, we want to be saved from God's wrath. What do you mean God's wrath? When God come back, when Jesus come back, the Bible would say that Jesus, when he died on the cross, he died in shame. He was naked and bleeding and all that. His body was open. But when he come back, he coming back in glory. He coming back with the angels from heaven. And when he comes, the Bible says, in flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and notice, and who obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. What do you mean obey the gospel? That means that you have to repent of your sin, change your mind about sin. He says, be baptized in water. He didn't ask you to die on the cross for him. But be baptized in water for the forgiveness of all of your sins. And now we're putting this armor on so we can live in this world. That we can obey the truth. We can do what's right. We can take this message to anybody that will listen to us. And we keep the shield of faith that God is every day when we go out there, because we know the devil is still out there. We keep our helmet on as we get discouraged, and we're going to be discouraged. Somebody might be discouraged this morning. See, the helmet helps us with our discouragement. Amen. Yeah, because see, even though we know we're Christians, even though we know we got the hope of heaven, it's tough out here. Yeah, you know, people don't do right, don't act right. Even people in the church don't act right. You have to remember where you're trying to go. You have to remember that this helmet of salvation is, yes, I got my house right here. I got my car, but that stuff not going to really last. And life, isn't life so fleeting? The hope of heaven. You're here today, you're not a child of God. You can obey the gospel today. Be baptized in water for the forgiveness of all of your sins. God adds you to his family, to the one church family. Next Lord's Day is the sword, the word of God, the last tool, piece of armor. And we're going to tie all of this together. But you hear that you want to obey the Lord, obey the gospel of Jesus Christ now? You want to claim your salvation today? God adds you to the family, to the church. Which you can read about in the Bible, to the one church called in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. God wants everybody to be in one family, teaching the same thing all over the world. That's God's plan to save mankind. Don't you want to be a part of the body of Christ? Don't you want to claim salvation even today? If you do, won't you come right now? As we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Somebody's knocking at your door. Somebody's knocking at your door. Oh.